Hey y'all, I just want to say hi as everybody comes in. Julie, thank you for volunteering for anonymity. Oops, that's my alarm. Turn off the noises on the phone. Okay. I have 7 o'clock, so we're going to get started. Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Megan. I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, all. Good to hear from you. So this is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to the remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you receive to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its very nature visual. We want to welcome all of those attending. You may reference our attendee guidelines for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to the meeting's readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or a tool via our meeting's live chat. Only 2-hour OA How sponsors share on tools. We do this so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Monday and Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, please
grant me the serenity
To accept the things I cannot change, the things I can wisdom, to know the difference, I will be done. Amen. Okay, let me see. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any compulsive eaters at this meeting besides myself?
Hi, Megan.
Yes, no,
we're all here,
I think.
Oh, it's good to hear everybody. Welcome. Thank you for being there with me. Meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a How format sponsor. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. Well, not right now. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Can I please have our volunteer to read What is How?
I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous, whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in how sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York sponsor guide. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, this is Sheila, a critical level compulsive overeater.
Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Welcome.
The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the OA the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member, we of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. Can I please get the volunteer who signed up to read the How concept?
My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Welcome, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, welcome. Patrick. Welcome.
The How concept. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that the only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
And can I please get our volunteer to read reflections for the newcomer?
Hi, everyone. This is Maureen, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Maureen. Hey. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer's assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Quote, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. This is from the Doctor's Opinion Big Book. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue their own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what they do not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. Quote, a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. This is from the Family Afterward Big Book, page 133. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Maureen.
And do we have the volunteer for the excerpt from the OA 12 and 12 in Chapter 2? The OA.
Hi, Megan. 12. It's Jane, compulsive eater. I don't think Pamela is online right now.
Would you be
she just joined. I saw that she just joined. I don't know if she's ready, but I am willing to do it.
Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
Sure. This is, excerpt from step two. Is that correct?
Yes. That's where we are.
Thank you. Okay. excerpt from step two of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating was concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that is frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We've eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again. putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. We could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of becoming obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right, as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay, next we have the reading from How It Works.
Hi, my name is, is Nancy P., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Okay, Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. But we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol/food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. We have the 12 steps of recovery. Do we have a volunteer for the 12 steps?
I can do it. I think the other person said they weren't able to. This is Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And that's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
And next we have the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Rena.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena. Welcome.
Thank you. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Thank you to all who read. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines a tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to the job and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Wow. Oh my goodness. No way.
No way. Hmm.
I know, it was bad news to me too. So with our tools of recovery, I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Participants receive timing prompts via the chat. Do we have a volunteer for, somebody said, no, I didn't see that. Never mind. If you're willing to volunteer to be the timekeeper, you can raise your hand in the participants bar or let us know via the chat that you're willing to time. It's a huge service to be the timer for the meeting. Wonderful. Christopher, thank you so much for volunteering to time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, our first tool is abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm a compulsive overeater from the state of Minnesota.
Hey, Carrie. Welcome.
Hey, Carrie.
201, a plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and strict approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. It means that we depend upon each other for strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured foods with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of a disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge food. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions, so there's no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use this cup, measuring cup, spoon, and scale. All right, so what I do is I use a digital scale quite a bit. So this is my digital scale, and this is the primary thing that I use for all of my food. It's really dirty right now, but I have backup batteries because with this, I use it so much, it's basically conked out a few times. I also, for some reason, was obsessed with buying scales, so I have like three of them or four of them in my apartment, along with this manual scale. And this manual scale is actually good, and I'm gonna throw this into my car because then it doesn't have batteries and it's not affected by the weather. And if you want to know how to use a manual scale, you can YouTube it, but it's pretty easy. But it's good for Minnesota because it gets like really cold here. I also measure certain foods like butter or peanut butter or dressing. And what I do is I have my measuring spoon, and then I put my food in there, and then I level it off with this. And everything that is inside is mine. So that's my food. On the outside, it's not mine, so I can't like lick the teaspoon or anything. So I get my food out of here. These little spatulas work fantastic for getting the food out of the teaspoon. And then anything on the spatula, darn straight, that's for me. And anything I scoop out is for me as well. So I have a measuring cup too. Sometimes I use a measuring cup. Like I use that for bone broth tonight. So that was good. And I guess I just made sure that I kept it level and I could see that it was like right, you know, right at the top. So I use that for broth or milk. We also have a phone, and my phone is charging, but I call people when I call my sponsor and I call three other people during the day. And when I have a sponsee, the sponsee calls me. So I'm talking to a bunch of people during the day, and that just keeps us connected, because when we have things that happen, like crises that happen, the process of making those phone calls, even though sometimes they can be a little bit annoying, is what keeps us connected to our fellows, and also keeps us abstinent. And some days I don't want to work. I don't want to call, but it works when I do have a point where I need to call. Okay, so that's the the abstinence kit. And also, I also get backup food. Like if I go out of town or if I go somewhere, I always have backup food just in case like the restaurant doesn't have how many ounces of salad that I need. So that's another thing. That's part of the abstinence kit. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Unless advised by a doctor or doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. This is my water jug. I drink two of these at least a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is fifth or beyond on the ingredient level. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it's the decision to take it. So as a compulsive person, food is one compulsive thing that I have. I have lots of other compulsive things that I naturally do. When they talk about how people in this program can find recovery if they follow the actions of the program, if they're mentally ill, that's what I would say that I was. I never really thought I was mentally ill or never really thought I had the program or a problem. Like my family, they called me mentally ill, but I never knew knew that I had a problem until I got into the program. I knew I was depressed. I knew I was suicidal, but then, you know, how do I become better? And, or how do I survive? How do I get to the point where I can be of service to other people? And what the food plan does for me is that it gives me structure around my life. I have a lot of other things that I think about, and food used to take a large portion of my brain. So maybe it would take half my brain, what I was thinking about, where I was going to go get my next meal, what was my next beverage I was going to get from the coffee shop. Like I was always thinking of food. So the program has actually helped me be able to be a sustaining member of society and be a contributing member of society, because now I can think about other things. I can think about like getting sleep is important. So I've been working on that lately. I started a new job, so I can think about that. Whereas before, my mind was so clouded because as compulsive eaters, you like to muddle things up. And so without the eating being compulsive, it's allowed me definitely more brain space to be able to live a better life. And it works. Like I thought it was a bunch of malarkey when I came into the program. I thought, I'm just going to give this a try for a few months and see what happens. But it does work. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Okay, can I have the next sponsor read and pitch on sponsorship?
Hi, I'm Jana B., compulsive overeater and restrictor in the San Francisco Bay Area of California.
Hi, Jana. Welcome.
This is so great being able to see people on the meeting instead of just the phone. It's wonderful. Okay, tool of sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Okay, let me make this bigger, and I guess I'm supposed to make my chat visible so I can know when my time is up. Okay, so I have been in OA HOW for about 7 years, and when I first came into program, I went through a series of sponsors, and each of them had what I needed at that time. And the important thing I really want to say is that there's many different sponsors in this program. We're all individual people. And while this meeting in particular has a wonderful sponsor's guide available to download that gives sponsors and sponsees the information they need to follow the program, people are different and interpret things differently. So the first sponsor I had, I call her boot camp lady. She took no nonsense from me. I was somebody who all my life was able to talk my way out of anything. I could manipulate, lie, sneak, whatever, but I could always get my way. And this wonderful woman did not let me get away with anything. And I made a few mistakes, partly because I didn't know I didn't have all the information I needed. But on the third time that I, you know, made a decision that I had to have the ketchup on the hamburger, and I wasn't willing to make a phone call, she fired me. And I had to get another sponsor, and that person was super generous and kind and loving, and then she left the program. So I got another sponsor, and it's been like that. My current sponsor I've had for, I think, almost 2 years. She is very easygoing and very spiritual, and that was what I needed at the time, was somebody who could help me grow on the spiritual side of things, because we've got the physical and the emotional. The previous sponsor had been much more in my business. I guess I could say a bit controlling, but she taught me so much. So each of these sponsors has had what I needed, and I want to really encourage newcomers to get a sponsor. And if it doesn't feel like a good fit, try another sponsor, but don't just give up without giving them a chance. I've seen that as well, running from sponsor to sponsor. So give them a chance. The other thing I wanted to say, if I still have time, is that before this program, I paid people to be my life coach. I paid diet programs to hold me responsible. I paid therapists to, you know, who, and diet, what do you call it? A eating disorder group expert. If I can just finish my sentence, thank you, I will wrap up. None of it compares to the value I have received from sponsorship in this program. It is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jana. Okay.
Thank you, Jana.
It's now time for the sponsor line. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors unmute and please join me in sharing only the following things. One, how long in OA and HOW? Two, how long abstinence in OA or HOW? And three, how much weight have you lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors, you're going to turn on your video and raise your hand by clicking the raise hand button in the participants panel. If you are on the phone, you can press star, it says star 9, but I think it's star 6, but however you unmute, you can unmute. And when it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
Jana, if you want to go ahead.
Yes, thanks. This is Jana B., compulsive overeater and restrictor in California. I was in regular OA back in the 80s and 90s. Never really got abstinent. Been in house since my recommitted abstinence date is August 4, 2014. And I have released about 20 pounds. And I know I'm forgetting something, but I'll pass. Thanks.
Chris? Christopher?
Hi, Chris J here. Entered OA HOW in 2005. My black and white abstinence date is July 27th, 2007. And by the grace of this program, have maintained a 123-pound weight loss.
Erlinda?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda. I'm compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. Thank you for having me.
Lewis?
Compulsive Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into OA HOW in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, he has seemed to relieve me of over 90 pounds.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly C. I'm from Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in OA HOW, and my abstinence date is December 21st, 2019. So today is 7 months, and I have been relieved of about 35 pounds. Thank you, and I pass.
Mary G.
Hi, I'm Mary G. from St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. And I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Pamela?
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour house sponsor. I came into OA over 40 years ago. I lost over 100 pounds. I stayed for the vanity, not the sanity. And I left for 20 years, and when I came back in on January 22nd, 2016, I walked right into OA HOW, and I had to recommit my date for June 15th, 2017, and I've been abstinent for 3 years, and my weight loss or gain is between my higher power sponsor, doctor, and nutritionist. And I am open for temp and food changes. My number's on the chat.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I came directly into HOW in 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years and chose to leave the program. I returned a few years later, and I'm currently down about 70 pounds. Thank you.
Julie BH.
Hi, everybody. I'm Julie BH, compulsive eater. I first came into OA in 1988. My HOW abstinence date is March of 2003, and I've been relieved of 87 pounds.
Thanks. Marie? Go ahead, Maureen.
Oh, Maureen. Thank you. I'm sorry. I kept hearing Marie. My apologies. I'm Maureen in Virginia. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA HOW in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and I'm very pleased to be relieved of 50 pounds so far. With that, I pass.
Jane?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater in on Vancouver Island in Canada, and I came into regular OA about 8 years ago, and I came into HOW September 19th of last year, and I am a sponsor now, and I've been relieved of about 14 pounds. Thanks.
Nancy P.
My name is Nancy P. I am a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I came into OA HOW in April 3rd of 2016. And I am down 75 pounds and have grown up a whole bunch. And with that, I'll pass.
Julie B.
Hi, everyone. I'm Julie B., compulsive overeater. Started HOW June 16th, 2013. My renewed abstinence date is January 23rd, 2020. And I have been relieved of around 50 pounds.
Ruth?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss.
Chaya?
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado, and I have been in Overeaters Anonymous and many different communities or formats within OA for the last 34 years. And I'm also some recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor. And my back-to-back abstinent date in 2 hour HOW is June 20th, 2019. And I'm maintaining a very healthy body weight, higher than I was when I was too low and much lower than I was when I was too high, and very grateful. Thanks.
Valerie B.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Valerie B. from Kentucky. I'm an OA HOW sponsor. I joined OA HOW in April of 2015 after 6 years of having the lap band bariatric surgery, and learned of OA HOW, came straight in my first 12-step program. My back-to-back absence date is a few months later, June 17th of 2015. I've been abstinent for 5 years, and I am so grateful for this program. I've lost 65 pounds. Thank you.
Patrick?
My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came into OA HOW in August of 2015. My current back-to-back abstinence is from August of 2018. I've been relieved of 170 pounds and no longer require diabetic medication.
Steph?
Hi, my name is Steph, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I came to OA HOW in August of 2010. My most recent abstinence date is April 27th of 2017, and I'm down 39 pounds.
Hi, I'm Lisa G., compulsive overeater. I came into HOW September 2014. I got abstinence September 23rd, 2014. Thanks to these fellows and my higher power, I maintained an over 50-pound weight loss, and I pass.
Marlena?
Hi, I'm Marlena. I live in Oakland, California. I'm a two-hour HOW sponsor. I've been in and out of regular OA for over 40 years. I've been in HOW for 4 years. My most recent recommitted abstinence date is 4/22/20, and I'm down about 50 pounds from my very top weight. And I do have an opening for a sponsee, and my phone number is 510-306-6234. And that would be a 6:15 a.m. call Pacific time.
Revital?
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, a sponsor in the two-hour OA How format. My name is Revital. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, was introduced to the two-hour OA How program in May of 2017, where I became abstinent finally after 13 years of sitting in the rooms, and continue to remain abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this format, this program. And my body has been relieved, last I checked, in the vicinity of 100 pounds, not clear right now. And just really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Heather?
Hi, everyone. My name is Heather. I'm in Texas. I'm a two-hour OA House sponsor. Came into program in August of 2019. My latest back-to-back recommitted abstinence date is May 14th, 2020. I am a two-hour OA House sponsor. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. I do not have openings at this time, but I love phone calls. Thanks.
Bryn?
Bryn, compulsive overeater from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a two-hour sponsor. I first walked through the doors of OA How in March 2004. This is after I lost 335 pounds out of 554 pounds. I walked through the doors of OA How. My most recent absent date is October 2007. And right now I'm maintaining at 225 per my doctor's recommendations. And I pass. Thank you.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How, OA How, in September of 2017. My back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018, and I've been relieved of 100 pounds.
Howard?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have a little over 19 years of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Anybody on the phone, press star, either star 6 or star 9. Anybody on the phone? Press star 6.
I'm on the phone, but I'm just new. I haven't done anything yet.
Okay, that's great. You can give your name and number in a few minutes.
So, okay.
Right now it's for sponsors. So if any other sponsors are on the phone. All right, I can go here real quick. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I've been in the rooms of How. It'll be today. It's actually 10 months. So, and I've I have been relieved of about 30 pounds. I do have an opening for a sponsee in early morning at 5:30 Central Time. Carrie from Minnesota. And then go ahead.
Hey, y'all.
Megan, if you want to.
Was there anybody else behind me, Carrie?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA How sponsor. I first came into OA How in February of 2009. My back-to-back recommitment date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away between 85 and 90 pounds in program twice, and I am at maintenance today. Okay. The thing turned off. All right. Clay Feet. Ooh, am I muted? Okay. Clay Feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It is not fair for the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, he or she will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Next, we're going to have a volunteer to read and pitch on anonymity.
Hi, I'm Julie B., compulsive overeater.
Welcome, anonymity. Julie.
Thank you. Hey, Julie, welcome. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, just lost my place here. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12 step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12 step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery in a threefold level: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Hear, hear.
Okay. And I'm going to read from the AA 12 and 12 and actually the first paragraph on tradition 12. The spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. Because AA's 12 traditions repeatedly ask us to give up personal desires for the common good, we realize that the sacrificial spirit is the foundation of them all. And when I came into this program, I thought I was very aware of other people and very accommodating to the point of forgetting myself. But what I didn't realize was that because I was so focused on food all the time, the constant dialogue in my head about food and when was my next hit going to come from and how would I get it and how much did I weigh and who would know and, you know, all of that jazz. I really did think about myself a lot. So when I came into this program, I quickly learned to start to think about other people. I was able to put the food down and I could now think about other people. And that was really important in the case of anonymity because I had also come from an environment where people talk behind your back all the time. I grew up with this. So I was pretty scared. I was afraid to talk about what I did with food. And I was afraid to talk about my weight and, you know, all the things that I'd been dialoguing in my head about over the years. And right away, people modeled for me true anonymity like I've never seen in the other 12-step programs that I've been in. I mean, I feel like we really in this program truly practice it by not sharing what we hear at the meetings about other people. There's no talking behind each other's backs. I trust that what I tell my sponsor stays with my sponsor. And I likewise do not talk about what I hear from my sponsee. I don't talk about what I hear on the phone from anybody else. And by doing that, we all get to think about the group as a whole, and it makes our fellowship safe, and it protects the sacredness of our space and our anonymity. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay, so next we're going to have a sponsor read and pitch on telephone calls.
Hi, my name is Nancy P, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
And I'm pitching on the tool of the telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And this is one of the tools that I really struggled with when I first came into program. And, you know, I was uncomfortable talking to people that I didn't know. And I just felt really awkward. And it didn't take long for me to realize that these truly are my people. These are the ones that get me. I thought for so long in my life that I was this sort of aberrancy and that there was no one like me and I was just messed up and weird and nobody did stuff like I did around food and nobody thought about food like I did. And of course it was all about me. And doing these phone calls and talking one-on-one with people and realizing that there is a whole world of other compulsive overeaters out there and they can relate to what I'm feeling and going through, it's like the best support ever. And now I feel like when I am having a struggle, I still notice my tendency to want to kind of withdraw and not make any calls, but because I've committed to making those 3 calls, I make myself do them, and it always gets me out of my funk. There have been a couple times that I've struggled with not doing them, and it was not a good thing for me. So the thing that makes it nice, too, about OA How is that you know everybody else has to make 3 calls, too, so you never have to worry about, oh, that you're bothering somebody or whatever. And now we have the app of Telegram that even if you say 11 o'clock at night, you go, oops, I forgot to make my last call, or you're just stuck and having a food problem, or you're having a problem at all, or something exciting that you want to share, you can pop on Telegram and there's usually somebody on there that's willing to talk. And so I just feel like the telephone has really, it's opened up my whole world because I just didn't realize that there were so many people that shared the same issues with me. And it's just so awesome to be able to relate to other people and then to be able to step out of myself and help other people with their issues too. So telephone has been a really great tool. And I think it is absolutely imperative that we do these. I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. Our next tool will be meetings.
Carlos Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. Grateful to
Welcome,
be here.
Lewis.
Hi, Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you all. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we've received through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week.
Lewis, so, Lewis, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you want to check your camera? We can't see you.
Can you see me
now? Thank you. I see you now.
Sorry about that. But one of the things that I've learned in HOW is that without meetings and without the program, I am a scatterbrain. You know, I'm easily distracted and prone to compulsion. And when one of the things that is most extraordinary to me about meetings is that they give me clarity and focus. Most importantly, this whole process that we go through in the first hour and a half of the meeting, so roughly, by walking through the program is so, so important for me to recognize why I'm doing this. Because my illness wants to convince me that this is too much, or it's a challenge or an issue, and I don't need to be doing this. But the process that we walk through in doing this with every meeting is just invaluable to give me clarity and focus when I'm outside of the meeting. So the other thing that meetings give me is a kind of fundamental form of service. You know, we need to have people at meetings in order to have a meeting. And if I did not have a meeting to go to when I came in here, I wouldn't be abstinent. And it's just that simple. I came to the meeting and it felt like home to me. And I could so relate into the message. I could so relate into what people were sharing. And it was the first time I'd ever felt that way with my food addiction. So it's extremely important part of service. And meetings also show me what actual abstinent behavior needs to be. It's really important to be able to listen to people. It's really important to carry the message and share honestly with people. It's really important to recognize and make the most vulnerable out there the most important people to address. So meetings show me how to do all that. And I was so self-centered when I came in here that I didn't know that these skills existed, really. I was just so self-focused. And you all have taught me how to lead an abstinent life. So I get the modeling in no small part from meetings. And thank you all for being here. And this is a great meeting for me. It always is. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Next, we have the tools of literature and writing.
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Grateful to be here tonight. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program by substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions, for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital for our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for it. Writing, in addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I'm losing my voice, so I don't know how long I can go. I get a lot out of my reading and writing. Right now I'm doing, I found on the on your site the maintenance questions for people who have become maintenance and maintaining their goal weight. And I am getting so much out of that, you know, going back through the big book, reading the pages that are assigned. It's just amazing to me because I can see how far I've come, you know, from 4 years ago when I first came in till now. You know, I've done so much work by reading and writing and putting my thoughts down on paper that is so true that my reaction to life was to overeat compulsively, you know? I mean, I used to joke. I used to eat from 5 p.m. to whatever time I went to bed, and then I'd get up during the night to eat. So, you know, by writing down all these things, I was able to share it with my sponsor and to be able to get a hold on to the spirituality of this program. I've had some troubling incidents lately and working on my fear inventory again, looking at that, because there's some fearful things going on. I'm in assisted living and we have been locked down without being able to see family or friends. And then they started to open it up. We have a 6-foot table out front. Thank you, Christopher. And one person sits on, the resident, sits on one end and our visitor sits at the other end 6 feet away. And now we're isolated in our rooms because a couple of staff members had tested positive. So for the last 10 days, we've been in our rooms. And, you know, that's not how I want to live my life. But because of this program, I can do that. And I'm so grateful that I had somebody be able to go out and do some groceries shopping for me because I was able to go out. But I had to write on this. I had to write on this fear that I was going through and to overcome it. And I appreciate, I guess I did do my 3 minutes. So I'm grateful for that. And you have a great evening, everybody. And I'll be listening to everybody's story next. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay. Next, we'll have a sponsor read and pitch on service.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nancy D., compulsive overeater. The tool of service.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Hi.
carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Good evening, everyone. Again, Nancy D. I'm thankful for the tool of service. And one of the things that service I found as of lately does for me is that it gives me an opportunity to get out of my disease, my everything. It just causes me to focus on someone else, which is a good thing, and I'm thankful for that. And being able to service versus yielding to my compulsion or to this compulsion, service versus isolation, service versus a pity party. I'm just again thankful for this tool of service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay! Service.
Yay, service. Yay. Service.
Yes.
Okay. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place. We want to get to know attending for the first time. Please turn on your video or unmute your line by pressing *6 and on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and the best times to call. Are there any newcomers out there? I know we had at least one. This is your time to unmute and say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Linda from Minnesota. This is my first meeting.
Welcome.
Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome, Linda.
Hi, I'm a compulsive eater. And I have been struggling with binging. I just had a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass in December, and I've released 98 pounds, but I'm struggling with the thoughts of obsessive, and I'm just having an issue.
Oh, well, we're glad you're here, Melinda.
Welcome.
Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you. Nice to meet everyone. It was really nice. I have a bunch of questions. I've tried to attempt to go to a meeting before. I'm making dinner as we're talking. So excuse me, I'm in my kitchen. But I didn't get the concept. I didn't understand. I don't think I was mature enough to understand what my problem was, and that I think I was still in denial. And I'm
Melinda, I'm just gonna stop you for a second because we don't have a lot of time during this time of the meeting, sure. But what I would love for you to do, have you put your information in the chat box so that we can contact you?
Sure.
And if you want to hold on to some of those questions, a couple of us will usually stay on at the end of the meeting, and maybe we can help you get going with some of that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We're so happy you're here, Melinda. Thank you.
Welcome, Melinda.
Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you.
Are there any other newcomers who would also like to unmute and say hello?
Hi.
We have one.
Can you hear me?
Somebody?
Can everybody hear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Kathy H. I'm a newcomer.
And I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a sugar addict and definitely white flour addict for sure.
Yep, I feel you.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. This is my second HOW meeting. I was so inspired from the very first one last Tuesday. And I am so grateful and grateful for my friend that sent me the information on the meeting.
Welcome, it's Kathy.
Thank you. It's been a long road by myself. I'm just so grateful to be here and found you all. Thank you. My name and information is in the chat room, and please, for those, I definitely need the numbers. Thank you.
Well,
again, welcome, Marissa, Kathy.
Marissa is next here.
Marissa is next. Welcome, Marissa.
Yes. Hello, my name is Marissa. I'm from Minnesota, and I am deaf. I started the program in 2018, and then I've left and come back and left and come back. And then with the coronavirus, everything's kind of been, changed with that. So now I'm ready to come back. I'm getting a sponsor. I lost 78 pounds back in 2016. So, all right. Anyways, thank you. I'm happy to be here tonight.
Welcome, Marissa.
Welcome.
Welcome, Marissa. Welcome.
Thank you.
Are there any other newcomers out there, either on video or via the phone? *6 if you're on the phone.
Yeah, this is Ryan B. I'm from Kansas. I've been coming to meetings for about a month now, but I'm still a newcomer.
Welcome.
Hey, Ryan. Welcome back.
Hey, Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan.
Glad you're here.
I'm Liz. Sorry. Patrick, this is my first time on this meeting. I'm a food addict.
Welcome, Liz.
Welcome,
welcome Liz.
Liz.
Welcome, Liz.
Welcome.
Any other newcomers or returning members? Somebody coming back? Okay, if you're a newcomer just with us or a returning, please make sure you put your name in the chat with your phone number. And if you want to receive a copy of the We Care list, please add your email, because then later in the week, you'll receive a copy of everybody's phone number so you can reach out and make phone calls. Welcome to everybody who's with us tonight. We're so glad you're here. Righty. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask that all deaf participants please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. May we please have a treasurer's report? Do we have a treasurer's report today? Not tonight. Okay, we'll keep moving on. We'll talk about the seventh tradition. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. And I am going to read, we've got some bad news.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm sorry to say it, but I do. We've got some bad news for you. It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take that first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just as you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. And that is from the Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements tonight? announcement. Okay, perhaps not.
Yes.
Yes, go. Okay.
This is Mary G, and I am the person that looks for my service. I'm looking for folks that would be willing to lead the meeting. And we have openings on, it's August 11th, 18th, and 25th. And you can either contact me, I'll put my information in the chat. But also, when you sign up to do a reading or a tool, the third button over is you can sign up to be a speaker or a leader. So thank you very much for your service.
Thank you for your service, Mary. We appreciate it. I will also add on to Mary's quick announcement. I look for the speakers for this meeting, and we're still looking for a few people. I think I need somebody in August. We need a few people in August, I think two, and then September. So if you have an anniversary coming up, or just feel called to do some service and feel like this meeting has offered you some experience, strength, and hope, we would love to hear your story. Okay, any other announcements before we move on? All righty. Now it's time, literature and books. I skipped something. Literature and books. Newcomers and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page that can be found at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. Or you can purchase OA books and pamphlets at the bookstore, and that's bookstore.oa.org. Now it's time for medallions. Thank you. I love the rattling sound. I had thought earlier, and I forgot to bring it up, that I was going to bring up some a few of my medallions so I could make the sound. Whoever did that, I appreciate it. At OA How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those who are working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Yay!
Woo! Absolutely.
Anyone requesting a medallion, you can request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so our first medallion, is there anybody here celebrating 5 or more years of continuous back-to-back abstinence? I'm not aware of any anniversaries, but did someone slip in the back door? Not 5 or more? How about anybody celebrating 2, 3, or 4 years of back-to-back abstinence? Not tonight. Keep coming back. We celebrate all the time here. How about 18 months of back-to-back abstinence? 1 year of back-to-back abstinence? Keep coming back. How about 9 months? Anybody celebrating 9 months? Six months? 3 months? 90.
This is Marlena, and I have 3 months since I relapsed.
Yay,
Marlena!
Congratulations,
Marlena! Woohoo! Way to go!
That is awesome. Okay, Marlena, congratulations. Anyone else? 3 months? Okay. And how about 30 days? Those first 30 days, that's a hardship to get. Anybody here celebrating 30 days? Okay, and then our last medallion, perhaps the most important, is the chip of desire. The chip of desire is not saying that you're abstinent right now or that you will be for the next 24 hours. The chip of desire says that you heard something at this meeting or saw something on the sponsor line that has given you hope and that you want to try a new way of doing things. Is there anyone who would like a chip of desire?
I would like one from Melinda.
Melinda, yay, congratulations.
And this is Marissa. I would like one as well.
Oh, Marissa, yay. Welcome.
Yay. And Marissa. Yay, woo-hoo. Congratulations, Melinda and Marissa.
Thank you.
Yay. Anybody else who would like a chip of desire? We're on a roll. Well, I would, one, love to congratulate everybody who's celebrating tonight. And if you are requesting a chip of desire or your medallion, you can put your information in the chat window. And I believe it is Heidi who will reach out and get you that medallion.
And I'll private message them.
That's awesome. Thank you. That's probably a little safer. So Heidi will reach out and get your information so that she can get those in the mail to you all. Congratulations to everybody. We're so happy for your celebrations. Okay, next, step-ups. I'm not aware of any step-ups, but at this meeting, we do celebrate step-ups. The stepping up portion of our meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has completed the first three steps of the program and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program, to stick with the stickers, to remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. I am not aware of any step-ups tonight, but keep coming back. We'll have some soon, hopefully. And anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to then have their anniversary reading. I'm not aware of any anniversaries, but we will hopefully have some soon. I think we have one coming up in the next couple weeks. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or your anniversaries via the Sign Up Genius link on our website. Okay, the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. I'm going to cut that a little short so that our speaker has her full 20. So can I ask for just 6 minutes, Christopher, if you would be willing to give me 6 minutes and then just tell me to be quiet. Thank you. Megan in Virginia, I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. I've been working this program not perfectly and not continuously since 2009. And I have 5 minutes. Thank you, Howard. I am so grateful to be here and being able to be of service tonight. When I thought about what I wanted to share on tonight's meeting, something came to mind. It's one of my favorite pieces of literature in all of our literature, and it's from page 31 in As Bill Sees It. And it said, in God's economy, nothing is wasted. Through failure, we learn a lesson in humility, which is probably needed, painful though it is. And that line in God's economy, nothing is wasted, has been something that has gotten me through a whole lot of, you know, things. We get abstinent and, you know, you get to maintenance weight, and I don't know, for me at least, maybe not for everybody else, I thought there would be like some kind of ticker tape parade or at least like a huge balloon bouquet and like a special announcement on the news or something. I don't know, that like, you know, wow, I was at 125 pounds or whatever it was at the time. And in my deluded mind, I thought that my life would then be perfect, right? I was always seeking the perfect. And of course, that's not what happened. I still have life. Life still happens and it's still messy. And, you know, I still have a bunch of kids who all insist on doing their own thing and not following the script that I have in my head. And I still have a husband who has all of his flaws and foibles, though they are far lesser than most of mine. And I still live in a world that sometimes feels to me like it's falling apart, you know, and I still have to show up every day in this world. And the beauty of program is that it shows me how to show up and live it and be a contributor and to be mostly an adult most days, and to have the ability to give love and service to those in my life, to most of the time not live in constant self-pity and resentment and sorrow. I wake up in the morning today with a feeling of I get to do the day. That is a miracle. I woke up every day in the food, when I was in the food and in active disease, every day I woke up with a feeling of utter dread. Like, I cannot believe I have to do this again. And that feeling is gone. Do I wake up some days and go, oh gosh, really? Because like there's something going on that I'm not looking forward to? Sure. But I do not wake up with dread anymore. I'm able to face reality and to walk through my challenges and difficulties with the support of the people in this program and with a relationship with God, who I do my best to turn my will and my life over to on a daily basis. I frequently take it back a couple times during the day and kind of have to recommit, but I know that my path through life is to turn my will and my life over to God, and that his plan is better than my plan. And that when I try to control and manage everything around me, that what I'm really doing is creating more pain and discomfort for myself and often those around me as well. And making it so that I probably have to go back and make amends to somebody. It is a beautiful and amazing way to live. It is not a perfect life. It's still life and it's still messy. But I would not try to live life in any other way today, because this is the way that works for me and that gives me the promises that we have in this program, that I will have a sane and happy, useful life. I didn't have any idea how to get there when I started working this program in 2009. I still am not quite sure how I got there. There are some mysteries in this program that I don't completely always comprehend. But today, I do live a sane and happy, useful life. I'm not mired in depression, despair, and hopelessness. And that, to me, is a true miracle. And with that, I am going to pass and turn over our meeting to our speaker. Let me get back over here to the full screen. Okay. I'm happy to introduce our speaker, and I'm sorry, but my mind is blanking. Howard even told me your name. Thank you. I had a J in my head, but I wasn't sure. Oh, okay. Can you please let our timer know how you would like to be timed?
The chat's fine, and if I don't see it, verbal is fine too, but I'll keep an eye on it. So,
okay. Is there like a 5 minute, 1 minute, anything like
5 minute? Yeah, 5 minute would be great. Thanks, Megan.
Welcome. Thank you for speaking.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Julie BH, compulsive eater, and I am in the Minneapolis area. And
hey, Julie, welcome.
Nice to be here. Thank you. And today I wanted to talk about living in the solution and not in fantasy land, which I always lived in fantasy land. And to qualify, I do have some pictures, which are really pretty. there I am in all my glory. Here's another one. So I do qualify to be here for sure. And I wanted to read, this is out of the third edition. And this is the story in the back. It's AA taught him to handle sobriety. It's on page 554 of third edition. And it says, AA does not teach us how to handle our drinking, he said. It teaches us how to handle sobriety. And, you know, I feel like I was, well, I know I was a compulsive eater all my life, even as a child. You know, I was just so attracted to the food. And I just, that's all I could think of when I was young. And I turned to the food as friend and solace. And I was always a fat kid. And I used food as, you know, that was my first drug I ever picked up. It wasn't the last one, but it was the first drug I picked up. And, you know, it was kind of my escape hatch from reality. You know, I just could not embrace life. I was just so uncomfortable in my own skin, and the food took me away. And I had this rich fantasy life, you know, and I just, you know, had this whole life in my head, you know, what it would be like if I was thin. You know, I just wanted to wake up thin and happy. And I thought if I got to that body size, then my life would be perfect. And, you know, and through the years I lost, you know, did the yo-yoing up and down, and I'd get down to like a more normal weight. And, but my life wasn't perfect, surprise, surprise. And I always thought I had a weight problem. You know, I was told I had a weight problem by doctors and friends and family. And I remember my mom was always telling me, I need to lose the weight because when you get older, it's going to be harder to do and you need to lose the weight. And all I heard in that was I wasn't okay. So, you know, and I just felt like I was defective and something was wrong with me. So, and when I was eating the food, you know, I was in my bliss. You know, I'd run home from school and plop down in front of the TV and binge my brains out, you know, because school was just so painful. And I just did not connect with people, you know, and I lived this fantasy life. And I kept putting my life on hold. And, you know, of course, when I got that perfect body, that's when I would start living. And it was just not a very happy existence. And I am multi-addicted. I'm also a recovering alcoholic. And I turned to food, drugs, alcohol, acting out, you know, anything and everything. And I think a lot of us are multi-addicted. I did not have a weight problem. I have a soul sickness, and this soul sickness just permeates my whole body. And, the food just never did it for me. You know, the behaviors never did it for me, and all the acting out never did it for me. I used to do anger eating. You know, I always had this stupid smile on my face, like everything was okay. You know, it's like, how are you? I'm fine. You know, but I was just like raging inside. I was just seething with rage. And I remember this one time my car had broken down and my sister and I were sitting on the curb waiting for the tow truck, and we were eating something really hard and sweet and crunchy. And like the whole side of my tooth like broke up into my gum. It was so painful. And did I stop eating? No, I didn't. I just chewed on the other side. So, I mean, that's how sick I am. You know, it was like, it was hard and crunchy, and that made me even madder, you know, to have this tooth problem. So now I have all these gold teeth in my head. because of compulsive eating and, you know, the harm that I've done to my body. You know, I've stretched it out and I've broken teeth. I burned my mouth. You know, it's just like all of these horrible things I've done to my poor body. And, you know, this disease just was in every cell of my body. You know, there's part of me that wished that I could eat and drink like a normal person and, you know, have a little glass of wine with dinner and a little sweet something afterwards. But you know what? I'm never going to be normal. I'm never going to be able to do that. And I've tried that experiment over and over, and it just doesn't work for me. And I had been in OA for many years. I first came in 1988, and had some abstinence. You know, it was no white sugar and three meals, nothing in between. But left to my own devices, I can like really manipulate the system where I, you know, yeah, it's my lunch, but it's 2 hours long and I don't eat sugar, but you know, sugar-free cookies, I can eat a whole bag of those as long as it's during lunch, you know? So it's like this craziness. And, you know, needless to say, I relapsed eating that way. And, I had been going for years and working a really so-called strong program in the beginning, but you know, it just started slipping away. It kept slipping away from me. And I don't remember ever picking up that food again. I don't remember when I first decided to pick up that food. And it wasn't like I just decided to pick up sugar again. You know, it was like this insidious little drip of becoming lax, you know, and the less I worked my program, you know, I started working a real half-ass program and I got half-ass results. And I did relapse for like 8 years. And, oh, I want to back up. I remember the very first OA meeting I ever went to, and I was living in Chicago at the time, and this was in the mid 80s. So I walked in, it was a hot room, it was packed with people. And there was this woman in like a dirty dress laying on the couch. And there was hardly any place to sit. And I was so hyper focused on this woman thinking, why doesn't she sit up so other people can sit down? What's wrong with her? You know, and she was overweight and sweaty and dirty. And it took me years to realize that that what I was seeing was myself in that woman. And what I was seeing is the disease face to face. And it scared the heck out of me. You know, and I left that meeting in the middle. And I didn't go back for a few years, but I did go back. You know, something kept leading me back to OA. And even after my relapse, something led me back to OA. And thank God for that. You know, thank God the doors are always open. And I had gone to the convention. And thanks, Chris, I see that. And I had gone to the convention in Minnesota in 2002 and heard these people talking. And I was deep in my relapse then. And I felt utterly hopeless. And these people actually gave me hope. And they were talking about this crazy OA how business. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. But, you know, something kept me coming back. And I started going to the meetings. And it took me a while to really embrace it and accept it. And thank goodness I did. I'm very grateful for that. Every day I wake up, I'm grateful for that. And it was then that I really accepted the fact that compulsive overeating is every much a disease as alcoholism and drug addiction. Because I think before I didn't really think of it as a disease. I thought, you know, going to AA meetings and OA meetings would do the trick. But, you know, compulsive overeating has always been my primary addiction. And it is a disease. So it was like with mixed horror and relief that I realized that. And what I learned in these rooms was that, yes, it is a disease. Yes, I do have it, but yes, there is a solution. And what I've learned in these rooms and work in these steps and the whole program is that there is hope. You know, even those of us that feel completely and utterly hopeless, there is hope. And I kind of went off script, but that's okay. And living in the solution today. And, you know, we're living in some very surreal times right now and very stressful times. And boy, if I was in the booze and the food right now, I would be in the booze and the food big time. And thank God I have this program and it keeps me grounded. And a lot of my program has been about acceptance, you know, and accepting that I have this disease, but accepting that there's a solution. And I always think of my my recovery as just holding it with an open palm. You know, that's a visual I always keep, is just to hold my life with an open palm instead of like gripping it. I hold it gently and with gratitude each day. And, you know, it's that whole concept of acceptance, you know, acceptance, 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 and putting one foot in front of the other. So today I put one foot in front of the other. And I do what I'm told, you know, what's suggested in these rooms. And I've really been leaning into my program. And those of us that have been around for a while, you know, you just can't afford to be lax about it. You know, we've got to really work it like our lives depend on it. My life depends on this program. And I know had I stayed in the booze and the food, I'd be dead by now. So, you know, each day I wake up with gratitude and, you know, it's just, I'm so grateful. And I literally have gratitude every day for being in this program and living in this solution. You know, like I said earlier, it's like I always wanted to eat and drink like a normie, but I'm not a normie. I am normal now in the way I live my life in the solution. This is my new normal, and I'm not going to be able to go out there and do it like I used to or like other people do, but this is what works. You know, it's the structure of this program and how it works for us that makes a huge difference. So I think that's all I have to say, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other and open our hearts. And I'm so grateful for all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Wonderful. Okay, the floor is now open for, we probably have time for one pitch. In OA How meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked on over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch?
I'd like to.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Rena D., compulsive overeater. So I started the program April 1st, and so it's, and I've had several slips, so I haven't even had my 30 days. And I've been trying really hard to read at meetings so that I can be of service and feel like, you know, I'm a part of the meeting. But I just wanted to push myself to share something that that stood out to me. I had to write some slip questions and answer some questions, and I had to write about the serenity prayer, and I just wanted to share some of what I came up with. Basically, I realized I'd been uncomfortable in the beginning saying the serenity prayer, and I hadn't really reflected on what it meant, and then very gradually I realized I was feeling almost soothed by it, and thinking about it during the day. And having to answer this question where I really had to write what it meant to me kind of solidified that a lot of the struggles that I've had have to do with anxiety over the things that I don't have control over, which is a lot. And that I could have peace of mind and let things be and not need to be in control. If I could do that, I could have more joy and be able to be more present to life and spend less time worrying. And it also made me reflect on the things that I can change require courage and strength and perseverance, which are not natural qualities for me, but by relying on God's help, there are things that maybe I can't do alone, but I feel like a reassurance knowing that God is always with me and I can draw on that. And remembering that and saying the serenity prayer is really now a source of courage and strength for me now that I've had a chance to really reflect on it. And so I'm grateful for my slip questions, and I just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Thank you, Rena.
Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Okay, I think we're at 8:55, so we're going to start to wrap it up. I would like to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all who participated, especially our speaker, Julie, who shared so much of herself. May we please have the reading of Just for Today?
Yes, hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. Just for today.
Hey, Ruth.
Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you. It's great to have you guys back.
Yay, thank you.
Okay, closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should remain safely here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? To those of us attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering.
Yes, Mom.
God.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change.
It cannot
urge to change. So I can
the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will be done. Amen.
I will.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Great job.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Bye. Good job, Megan. Thank you for your service. Julie, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, Megan.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Julie.
Good job, Julie. Thank you.
Good job.
Congratulations to the newcomer and to Marlena for her medallion.
Get out of here.
Are there any newcomers who stayed on the line who have any questions or anything that they need?
All right. Good night, Mom.
Good night, Freddie. We made it almost to the end, Howard.
Pretty good.
I stuck around. I have a couple questions. Hi. It's Kathy. I did have a few questions. I guess I'll get an email with people's numbers. About how long will that take? A few days or?
Yeah, that will take a few days. There are also numbers in the chat that you can kind of scroll back and pick up. I think you can also save the chat. There's three dots,
Okay.
And I think you can save the chat, and it will download to a directory on your computer. And So there was quite a few numbers that people left in there for reaching out.
Okay, great. So basically, I guess you would advise to just go through the 30 questions. That would be the first, like, next steps, or, of course, calling your sponsor, making the three calls, and any other material that would be good to be reading.
Do you have a sponsor? You have a sponsor that you're working with?
Yeah.
And you have a big book and the 12 and 12?
Okay, so I should buy the big book and the 12 and 12?
Well, they're also available for free online. I mean, you can read the big book and the 12 and 12 online absolutely for free. But If you're a book person, like I like a real book, yes, I think that... I would buy the book, but you can completely use them online for free.
Okay.
And you usually start working on those first 30 questions once you have a sponsor. Usually you might end a food plan generally. It kind of depends on the sponsor. Some sponsors will let you get started with like a borrowed food plan. But have you spoken to a nutritionist or to a dietitian?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like you're on your way.
Yeah, that's how we all got started.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you and do appreciate the meeting. I've been to others, virtually this past week, but I think I appreciate the strictness of this. I think I need that. Versus some of the others. No offense to the others, but I do appreciate the adherence and that things are strict because
you know, I mean, it's all about the first step. Our lives are mine anyway. I can't speak for anybody else. Wouldn't do that. But my life is unmanageable. And to have it be manageable at this point, at bottom, is not the point to think I have it in hand to be able to do it on my own. That's for sure. So thank you. Thank you both.
Yeah, Catherine, if you'd like some help getting the audio on your device working, I see that you're on a phone and a device or a computer. So we do coaching sessions on Monday and Thursday night.
Okay. What time is 7 or?
Well, there's a number of slots that you can sign up for, you know, okay, on each night, you know, whatever works out.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate the information. Appreciate the service of both of you. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Joining us. Yeah.
Have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. All right, anybody, any other newcomers? I recognize most of the other names here, so I'm not sure if there's any other newcomers who need anything. All right, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Howard. I'll see you later.
Yeah, have a good night. Don't stay up too late.
You know me, I'm headed right there, right now. Adios.
I'm just rolling here. I'm just on a roll, so.